Like many people, I have Irish ancestors. My father's grandfather was from the West Coast County of Mayo. His surname, my maiden name, was McHugh, a name I rather liked. There weren't any other McHughs in the schools those days. There are two accounts of why he came to England and what he did when he arrived here. I suspect the truth lies somewhere between the two accounts. But the account that attracts me is that he lost what no doubt little money he had by standing on the street corners of London telling the English what he thought of them, which I assume was not a lot. I'm not attracted by what he said, I must stress that, but by the fact he had the courage to stand up and say so. Today, I fear many of us, me included, do not always have the courage outside these four walls to stand up and say what we believe, that Jesus was the Son of God who lived, died, and rose again. The words of our Good Friday confession, "We are afraid of being known to belong to you. Lord, forgive," speak loudly to me. Two of the reasons I suspect we don't do so is for the fear of offending others or being ridiculed. On the other hand, the Acts of the Apostles are full of accounts of those early, often with just cause, fearful first followers of Jesus, who despite their fear had the courage to speak with conviction of the risen Christ and act in his name. Today's reading from Acts 3 is one such account. The verses we heard this morning follow on from when Peter, accompanied by John, had healed a man who'd had a disability from birth. This man was well known for sitting begging by the temple gate called Beautiful. Peter had healed him by saying, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." This naturally delighted man had then entered the temple courts, walking, jumping, and praising God to the amazement of those gathered there. Peter, the same Peter who had previously and infamously denied Christ, takes the opportunity to declare that he had not healed in his own power or godliness, but in faith and in the name of Jesus. By faith in the very person whose death those listening to had been party to. A very brave and some might say foolish thing to do. But note that in verse 17, Peter says that those who were complicit in the death of Jesus acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. After earlier struggles, Peter seems to have come to terms with the fact that Jesus had to die to rise again in order to fulfill God's plan as foretold through all the prophets. So instead of condemning those listening, he calls them to repent and turn to God so that their sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. This model set by Peter may be the model we might choose to use when we find ourselves in a position where we can either keep quiet about our faith or speak out for it and about it, not in an adversarial way, but by accepting those listening are those who they are. whose lives have taken a different path from ours, who may not yet have heard of the truth about Jesus, or who have heard about him but have not got the full fact, or those whose lives have been so marred by misfortune that to believe in a God who wipes out sin, died and rose again for them, may be too difficult to grasp. If all this sounds too daunting, then let me share with you a little of what the Lent course, Finding a Voice, which a few of us in the partnership studied during Lent this year, has to offer. The course used extracts from the excellent film, which you may have seen some time ago, The King's Speech, based on how King George VI, our Queen's father, overcame his stammer. Naturally, the film was based on fact, but fictionalised for art's sake, and the events which occurred over a period in reality of about 14 years were compressed into a few months. For almost all his life, because of his stammer, King George VI had been fearful of speaking in public. Previous attempts by professionals to help him overcome the stammer had failed. When still Duke of York, his wife engages a speech therapist, an Australian, Lionel Logue, who, through rather unconventional means and with some resistance from the then Duke, manages to help him overcome his fear and enable him to learn how to speak without stammering. Towards the end of the film, on the eve of the coronation, and while in Westminster Abbey rehearsing for the next day, King George is dramatically provoked by Lionel Logue, his speech therapist, to shout, "I have a voice!" The Lent Course book equated the King's experience with how God enables us to overcome things that hold us back from following and responding to his call. One example explored was from Jeremiah, chapter 1, verses 4 to 10, where Jeremiah, having heard God's call to be a prophet, said to the Lord, "I do not know how to speak. I am only a child." The Lord responds, "Do not say, 'I am too young.' You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you." Another, perhaps more well-known example, was of Moses being given Aaron to speak for him. In Exodus 4:10, Moses protests to the Lord, "O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." The Lord responds, "Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord?" Moses still pleads with the Lord to send someone else, but the Lord, now angry with Moses, suggests Moses' brother Aaron speaks for him. Perhaps one message we can take from the film and from Acts is that we too have a voice, a God-given voice, which with discernment, with guidance from the Holy Spirit, and in the name of Jesus, we can develop the courage inside and outside these four walls to speak in the name of Jesus, out for the name of Jesus, speak of who he was and who he is today, speaking from our own experience of what he means to us, what he has done for us and others we know, and what he can do for those who are willing to listen, hear, and respond. Amen.
Amen.